In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There was a preacher who in the middle of his sermon stopped abruptly. And seeing that not everyone was paying attention, the preacher asked the congregation to raise their hands if they wanted to go to heaven. And a few people raised their hands. Worried that some people were still not paying attention, he asked again in a louder voice, "Everyone who wants to go to heaven, please raise your hand." And more people, but not all, raised their hands. So he repeated the question a third time in even a louder voice. This did the trick, and everyone in the congregation woke up and raised their hands. Everyone, that is, except a wide-eyed and obviously awake and attentive little girl. So the preacher walked over to her and asked why she didn't want to go to heaven when she died. The little girl responded, "Oh, preacher, of course I want to go to heaven when I die. I just thought you were trying to arrange a trip this afternoon." During his earthly ministry, Jesus did not talk too much about going to heaven when he died. When he used the phrase kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, he seemed most often to be referring to something near, something present, a realm that is accessible to us, but different from what he called the world. It is a place that we can go to this afternoon or any time we want. Now, the three verses from the Gospel of Matthew that we read this morning are only the end of a speech that Jesus made to his disciples. He made the speech as he is about to send the disciples into the world to preach the world of God, the word of God, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He provides authority to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons, and to proclaim that the good news, that the kingdom of heaven has come near. This last week has had its ups and downs. New York finally entered phase two. The sun has been shining. Churches are set to reopen, albeit in a limited fashion next Sunday. Yes, things were looking up. And yet the news from other places was not so good. In the developing world, the virus spreads unimpeded. In our own country, rallies have been held. The virus is spreading through the South and Southwest like wildfire. And at the end of the week, new troubling information appears about the effect of the virus long term. I have to be honest, by the end of the week, I didn't feel as if the kingdom of heaven had come near to me. That doesn't mean that the kingdom of heaven wasn't near. It just means I didn't notice. In the first lesson, we hear the prophet Jeremiah's response to another prophet in the time of exile. The prophet Hananiah has just said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon. Says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Now this sounds like good news. And the prophet of Jeremiah thought so at first. He responds, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied and bring back to this place in Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles." After these verses, the story gets complicated. Jeremiah hears the voice of the Lord himself. And then he says to Hananiah, "Listen, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made the people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am going to send you off the face of the earth. Within this year, you will be dead because you have spoken rebellion against the Lord. In that same year, in the seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died. Now, this is the kind of story that has given God a bad name. This interpretation of why bad things, such as the exile into Babylon, have happened to good people, such as the people of God, this story says that it is God punishing those who suffer, even though they appear to be good for their misbehavior. The story of the death of Hananiah reinforces this message. This interpretation leads to the conclusion that if bad things are happening to people, it is because God is making them happen. And he is punishing God for their bad behavior. He's punishing the people for their bad behavior. If we accept this interpretation, we cannot and probably should not take steps to relieve human suffering. The later prophets and Jesus himself give a different interpretation to the events of human history. Their different interpretations are also human ways of explaining God's ways, just like the one in the book of Jeremiah. So how does all of this apply to us? First, it is most important to remember that Jesus taught that when bad or even good things happen, they do not reveal God's punishment for bad behavior or even God's reward for good behavior. Jesus teaches us that the sun rises on the just and the unjust, and the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. Secondly, Jesus teaches us that when bad things are happening to people, we are not to blame them or shame them, but rather we are to help them, relieve their suffering, and love them. When we do this, the kingdom of heaven draws near. The world teaches us to blame victims for bad things that have happened to them. The poor are blamed for their poverty. Great victims are blamed for the violence they suffer. Gay men have been blamed for the HIV/AIDS epidemic. The people of New Orleans were blamed for Hurricane Katrina. And even now, African-American victims of police brutality are blamed for their own death. As I said before, the later prophets and Jesus teach us not to blame God, ourselves, or each other when bad things are happening, or when we feel like we've been called into exile. Instead, Jesus calls us to love our neighbors and even our enemies. We are called to work things to change the oppressive conditions and injustices of our society. We are also called to welcome each other from the exiles of racism and oppression. We are called to welcome each other even from the exiles we construct for ourselves in our own minds. Jesus calls us to love each other and to welcome each other into the beloved community. And when we do that, the kingdom of heaven draws near. Let me give you a personal example. There was a time in my own life when I was feeling pretty alone and lonely, and someone called me out of my own personal exile into the kingdom of God. Soon after moving to New York 22 years ago, I did not have many friends living in New York. And when Gay Pride came, I made plans with a work friend to go watch the march together. At the last minute, he canceled because he wanted to march with the New York University School of Business, where he had just completed an MBA. He invited me to go along, but I wasn't part of the NYU School of Business, so I isolated myself even further. I stayed home, stuck in my own private little exile. After a while, I decided I'd go over to watch the march by myself. Talk about a bad decision. I was pretty sad in a group of a lot of very happy people. And it was not pretty, and neither was I. The first groups that I saw that afternoon were religious groups. These people marched in straight lines, with very grim faces, nice banners, very earnestly supporting the LGBTQ community, but looking like they were not having much fun. Off in the distance, I saw a float, not a fancy float, not one of those sponsored by a beer company or some other corporate interest, but the kind of float that nonprofits pull together, usually at the last moment. As the ranks of these very serious religious folks continued their march, the small, not fancy floats got closer. They were blasting music from the 1980s and dancing up a storm. I thought to myself, wouldn't that be a great float for the church to have? As the not-so-fancy float got closer, I realized that it was, in fact, the float of the Episcopal Diocese of New York. I looked up at the float, and I saw an old friend of mine, who was married here in the little church, our then supplicant bishop, Kathy Roxton. Bishop Roxton was on the front of the float, leading the dancers. She saw me on the sidelines, and in the world of exile that I had constructed for myself, and she called me up onto the float, and I went, breaking through the lines, I danced on that float from Midtown all the way to the West Village. Responding to the bishop's invitation, I danced myself out of my own private little exile, and the kingdom of heaven did draw near them, and my legs were very sore. As we continue to live through this exile of COVID-19, we are called to comfort and love each other and point out the small ways in which the kingdom of heaven draws near. We can and we should work to construct a new, loving, anti-sexist and anti-racist structure of inclusivity for our society. We must persist until that day, and that day will come, when the exile of COVID-19 is over. And then we will all dance together in the streets, and the kingdom of heaven will draw near in a very big way. In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.